Where we make our biggest mistake is when we don't think we need him. Sure, the lost do. Of course they do. It's amazing how many people are redeemed and yet decide that they don't need him. We're going to talk tonight about two boys, the prodigal son story. But I'm not going to talk about the prodigal son. I'm going to talk about the elder son. Oh, the prodigal will probably come up somewhere here and there. But to be real honest with you, in our lives as Christians, we should be challenged in our lives to want to be closer to the Lord. We should be challenged in our lives to want to remove ourselves from the world when and if at all possible. We should have a desire in our lives to do things that other people just don't do because we are peculiar. We are weird. We are different. We have a God that loves us and takes care of us, and we should have a desire to be with Him. I personally think that's what this story is talking about, being with Him. Let's stand together. I'm going to read all of it. I promise you I won't stop along the way and make you stand forever, but I think it's necessary to read all of the story. Starting in verse 11 in Luke chapter 15, we're going to read all the way through the end of the chapter. I promise you I will do my best to read quickly. But I want you to follow along, starting in verse 11. The Bible says, "And he said," this is Jesus doing the speaking, "a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto them, 'Thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the honor and opportunity that it is to preach your word. Lord, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us a church to attend. Thank you for giving us a church that has heat and gets us out of the elements. And Lord, we can concentrate on what you have tonight. Now, Lord, you need to use me. I'm no good on my own. I need your help. Lord, this is something that I want to shout out from the housetops, Lord, how we ought to be better as Christians. God, please help us. Help each and every one of us, me included, me probably the chiefest, need you. Lord, help us tonight to study your word and learn, and help us to take what we've learned out into this world and stay close to you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Very seldom do I read that much and have you stand that long, but I want you to understand something when we speak of these verses. And most of the preaching is done about the younger son. Most of the preaching is done about the prodigal. Most of the preaching is done about the fellow that left Dad's side, went ahead and took everything that he had. And by the way, I find it very interesting that Dad gave it to him. I find it very interesting that the father still allowed him to take with him the things that were supposed to pertain to him. The father allowed that, and the son went off and, as you know, spent all of those things on riotous living. He did those things because he was away from the father. See, being close to the father did not allow him to make those decisions on his own. Being close to the father was able to instruct him on what he should and should not do. And the boy, thankfully, while he was with the father, did not make those same mistakes. But as soon as he got away from the father, he spent everything he had not making the correct decisions, not doing those things which are right. It's amazing to me how often the youth of our world today cannot wait to get out on their own. At 15 years old, I was forced to be out of my home, a big mistake that I made in my life. And my dad, who loved me very, very much, decided that it was time for me to leave the house because I was doing damage to the home. I've got to be honest with you, it was the best move that my dad could have ever made for me, just because I had to come to grips with the responsibility that it was to be an adult. And I wasn't even an adult. You might think, well, that's horrible to have a dad do that, but if you had me as a son, you would have done the same thing if you loved me. As the prodigal son's dad does these things, the prodigal son's dad never stopped loving his son. I'm sure along that way, he prayed for his son. I'm sure that he wanted his son to be home. I'm sure that he wanted his son to do right. You know, as parents, we ought to want our kids to do right. I got to stop there for 1 minute. You know, it's not easy being a Christian. It really isn't. I got to be honest with you, it's not. It's not easy to say no to the things of this world. It's not easy to say no to all the changes that are out in this world today. It's not easy to do those things. I got to be honest with you. Can you stop pandering to your children and allow them to do some of the things that you did and screwed up on when you were a kid? You may not like that. And you might say, well, look at how I turned out. Yeah, that was a rough chance to take, don't you think? There's a lot of things I did in my life that I'm not proud of, and we're going to talk about some of that tonight in a different type of angle. There's joy that can be had in all this. If you think about this chapter, this passage of Scripture, joy comes in this, and God is so very good to allow that child, that's why this parable is there, to allow this child to come back to Christ. We take great joy in a child that comes back to Christ, don't we? We take great joy and great happiness in a child that was once wayward and now is here with us. We once was lost but now is found. And I'm so very glad that when I was wayward, the Lord saw it fit for me to be able to come home. I'm so thankful that He did those things. And I'm excited to know, and I'm going to give you a few points tonight. I'm excited to know that, you know, I got to be honest with you, there's great joy in the fact that I'm forgiven. I mean, can you rewind your life a little bit and find out how good it is to know that you're forgiven? I know that's a very simple thought, but do you understand that Jesus Christ never in one time, never in all of history, never in all of eternity past, never in all of everlasting life forward, there's never going to be a time when Jesus Christ cannot or will not forgive. No matter what you've done in all your life, no matter what you're going to do now, no matter what you've been doing and what you're going to do in the future, He's always ready to forgive. There's great joy in that. There's great joy in knowing that Christ has already paid for my past. There's great joy in knowing that Christ has paid for the sins that I commit today. There's great joy in knowing that Christ is going to take care of every sin that's ever taken place, that's ever going to happen in the future. There's great joy in being forgiven. It's very difficult for me to understand why religions teach that you've got to be baptized to be saved. You've got to work to be saved. You've got to do all these other things to be saved, because I got to be honest with you, that's not a religion of forgiveness. That's religion of work. It's not what the Bible says. There's great joy in knowing I'm forgiven. There's great joy in knowing my past is in the past. But it is in my past. There's never a time that I can forget what I've done. How about you? Oh, there's great joy in knowing that what I've done is gone. There's great joy in knowing that Christ, all the way from the east to the west, has forgotten my transgressions and they're gone. But isn't it amazing how you continue to carry that baggage throughout your life? Isn't it amazing how that baggage seems to come up? I'm not trying to depress you tonight. I'm just trying to get you to think. When we get to the last one, you'll understand. It's amazing how wonderful it is to know that I'm forgiven. It's amazing how wonderful to know that the things that I've done in my past are gone to Him. It has helped me some to realize how good God is. It's helped me some to realize that kids are trying to get away with the very same things today. It's amazing to me that it seems to be worse now when I never thought it could be any worse than when I was a kid. The challenges that they face, you ought to pray for your teenagers. The challenges that they face are different than we ever faced. We used to have to go and hide things. Today they just bring it on their computers. You know, it's amazing to me the things that they face, and I've got to be honest with you, I'm very thankful that the things that I went through in my life, God saw fit to be able to let me live. I was saved at 11 years old. I know you know that. But from 11 years old till 18 years old, I lived like the devil himself. And I'm so thankful that God allowed me to live. There's great joy in knowing that God has forgiven me of those things, that God waited for me. Can I say that again and have it mean something to you? I'm so glad that God waited for me. He didn't have to, Jordan. He could have just said, you know what, I'm done with you, and squashed me out. Amen. Couldn't he do that to you? But aren't you glad that God waited for you? Aren't you glad that even though you were gone and you were not with the Father, just like the younger prodigal son, even though you were not with the Father, Daddy didn't go anywhere. I want you to remember that when the younger son came home, all he had to do was go to his old address. I want you to remember that when the prodigal son decided, Colton, it was time for me to go see Dad, Dad was still living where he left him. I got to be honest with you, Christ is still there. You're the one that left, not him. He still is at the same address. Just call upon him. There he is. Aren't you glad of that? Isn't there a great joy to know that Christ waited on you and your past is in your past? I can't even imagine that I'm preaching the gospel. To me, it makes no sense to me. It makes no sense why God would decide to use a person like me who did so many things while I was saved. See, I'm different than most Baptist preachers. Most Baptist preachers got saved and did right. I mean, come on, how many testimonies have you heard? Baptist preacher after Baptist preacher come in here. Yes, glory to God, I was a drunkard and I got saved and now I've been great ever since. Yeah, I got saved at 11 and I lived like an ornery cuss all those years after. God had every right to get rid of me. The dad had every right to turn this son loose and never talk to him again. I've given you everything I'm going to give you. Amen? Couldn't you say that? You've got your inheritance. You've got everything I'm going to give. There is no more. You've taken it. Aren't you glad? Isn't there great joy in knowing that God still has more to give? Isn't there great joy in knowing, Jimmy, that God has more to give you? Your life's not done yet. He's given you some great things. But there's more yet to be had. You older Christians, Brother Carl, you're one of my heroes. I know, whatever, you can get mad at me all you want to, cuss me later. But I got to be honest with you, sir, there's more left for you. I'm talking to an old man here. There's more left for him. If there wasn't more left, he'd be in heaven. Aren't you glad there's more left? Aren't you glad God's got more for you? Aren't you glad that there's something there for you? Aren't you glad? There's great joy in knowing that Dad is still there. There's great joy in knowing Dad's inheritance. He didn't spend, you might have taken up your inheritance, but God's got more inheritance to give you. There's great joy in knowing that my Father was always there. There's a great joy in watching the celebration over my repentance. Oh, you may not have seen it, but it was there. You know, I'll never forget the day that I made a decision through God's persuasion to start doing correctly. It's amazing. By the way, I still don't have a handle on doing things correctly. I just try a lot harder. But I'll never forget those days that I worried. You ever been like that? Maybe I'm not talking to anybody tonight. I don't know. Maybe I'm not. But to me, this means something. Every day was a worry. Every day was a fret that maybe something would happen or maybe something wouldn't happen. Or, you know, just one of those things, time after time. It's amazing how the world, when you're in it, will take some of your life away from you. It will keep taking from you and keep taking from you. And you can notice the verses in here where the kid is resigned himself to eating pig food. He's resigned himself to having no man help him. I remember those days that I was wayward. I remember those days, and I remember these things that when I was down and out, no man was there. No man was there. But there was a God that was there. See, I'm very, very joyous to know that watching the celebration over my repentance, I was very glad to know that my dad, my earthly dad, wanted me to do right. My dad's a good man. And my dad wanted me to do right. He had a desire for me to do right. He didn't want his kid to be a drunkard. He didn't want his kid to do all these things. He wanted his kid to do right. And I'm glad that my dad finally got to see his son desiring to do something that was worthwhile. I'm glad that he waited on me. But I'm also glad that he could never get rid of the title called son. No matter how good or bad I was always his son. See, if you're saved in here tonight, you've got a title on you called child of God that can never go away. No matter how good, no matter how bad, your son of God title can never go away. You're always going to be a child of God. For all of eternity, you're going to be a child of God. Well, preacher, that means I've got liberty to go out and screw up. You know you do. You do. But can we look at the elder son for a moment? Can we look at the elder son and try to figure out why he's so mad? Can we look at the elder son for a moment and try to catch the joy that he has? Try to catch the joy. I get tired of preachers preaching about their past life sins and acting like there's trophies. And it's the truth. Preachers do it all the time. Well, bless God, I was so horrible then. God saved me because I needed to be a preacher. You needed to be a preacher before you did all the sinning. Christ wanted you to be a Christian long before you messed up. We can't use our mess-ups as a crutch to tell. I'm so ashamed of the way I lived my life when I was saved. Are you? Look at this now. This is such a downer. But I want you to look at this. Starting in verse 28. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. I wonder if his brother spent any nights worrying about his younger brother. I bet you did. How many times have you been mad at another Christian that has gone to the wayside? Huh? I've been mad at Christians that have decided that they were going to live their life the way they wanted to and not serve God anymore. I've been mad. I've been mad because I watched them go off out into the darkness. I've watched them go off out into the badness. I've watched them go off and do the things that they wanted to do, and God didn't want them to. I've seen it. I've watched it. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it gets me mad. You know, I got to be honest with you. I get a little tired of this too. The Christians have lost their sense of being aggravated over sin. Well, let me stay there for a while. You don't seem happy tonight. It bothers me that it doesn't bother you. It bothers me that it doesn't bother me that sin is abounding. It bothers me that it doesn't bother Christians today that pornography is running so rampant. It bothers me that it doesn't bother Christians that drunkard is still so effective. It bothers me that it doesn't bother you that there's things out there today that our children are getting into that we're okay with. It bothers me. It bothers me that Christians have lost the thought process of we ought to be godly. It bothers me. It bothers me that I watch our kids go off and the parents pander to them saying, oh, you'll be all right. I made it through, so will you. Well, that's a tightrope you ought not walk, because I know an awful lot of tragedies that have happened to children because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time because their parents made the wrong decision. I know I've said this, and my children must feel like they live in a jail. But my kids don't get a vote. If I say it's wrong, and I want it to be wrong. And I get grief for it. My kids give me grief, and that's all right. Kids are kids. They ought to give you grief. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want my children to go out into this world with my permission. I've made this statement lots of times, and I'll keep on making it. I'll get to the point of the message here in a minute. I still haven't got there yet. I would rather lose my kids to the devil, because many people have told me, oh, you're going to push your kids too hard and they're just going to run away and go off out into the world. Okay. Well, I'd rather lose them to the devil than give them to him. That don't preach good usually. Usually parents just throw their nose up at me and say, well, I'll run my house, you run. That's fine, go ahead. Godliness is godliness no matter what house you're in. Well, let me say that again. That's good stuff. I might just preach later. Godliness is godliness. Doesn't matter what house you're in. Your house, my house. Doesn't matter what house you're in. My house isn't always godly. Can I make that statement in this church? My house isn't always godly. It's not. Hey, listen, I'm not always godly myself. How in the world can I expect my house to be godly all the time? And if you think your house is godly all the time, you need everybody to wake up. See, we fight a battle in our homes. Well, I didn't have any of this planned. This must be needed. Listen to me. We fight a battle in our homes. You're pretty here. You're wonderful here. Christ all the time, every time here. Easy. Oh, run up to the altar. Do you see me running to the altar? Look, preacher, I'm going to go pray now. See, let me tell you something. You fight a battle every single day. You may not be willing to fight it, but the devil is trying to take your home. Do you know why? If he can get the prodigal son to go away from dad for a while, what did the prodigal son do? He got into that world, got himself into a position he ought not be in, did things that he ought not do, suffered things he ought not have suffered, lived a life he ought not have lived, gave up his life to harlots, gave up his life to drinking, gave up his life and no man would help, and if he would have stayed with dad. Yet we don't realize we're fighting a battle for our homes. Why do preachers preach so hard? Why do teenagers, I've been told throughout the past, doing this for 20 years, I've been told throughout the past by teenagers, you know what? If you would preach more fun stuff, we'd listen a little more. I got to be honest with you. Start doing right and I'll start preaching fun. But I'm not going to sit here and be nice to you if you're on Facebook 24 hours. There it is. There it is. Preacher hates Facebook. It's amazing to me. I double dog diggly ding dong dare you to shut it down for 24 hours. It's got no hold on me. Yeah, rock music had no hold on me. No hold on me. When I was a kid, you know how many people I told that to, by the way? Lots. Hey, come on, music means nothing to me. I can still remember the lyrics to this day. That filthy, foul lyrics, I can still remember them to this day. And I promise you, if I'd start humming a few bars, you'd hum right with me. Music has no effect on you. Huh? We fight a battle every day. It was in that dad's mind to grab that boy by the neck and just hold him. Please don't go, son. Please don't go. Do you think my dad wanted me to leave? Come on, I want you to think with me because we're going to get to the elder son here in a minute. Do you think my daddy ever wanted me to leave the house? Do you think my dad ever wanted me to call him out to the front yard and say, Dad, we're going to fight right now to find out who's the man of this house? I hope and pray my son does that to me someday. My dad's taught me. Do you think he ever wanted that to happen? No. But I still carry that with me. I still think about that from time to time when I see him. You know, it's amazing. My dad doesn't remember a lot of the stuff that I did when I was a kid. Dad's got a great way of either lying to me or forgetting. But I remember. Do you think that prodigal son, when he came home, remembered? Sure he did. He told his dad what he'd done. Do you think that he lived out the next 20, 30, 40 years, however long that young man lived? Do you think he remembered the things that he'd done and wished? Come on now, stay with me for just a little while longer. Do you think he wished that he could go back and stay with his dad? Do you think he could go back, if he could just go back and not do what he did? Forget about the learning experience. Oh, I want to send my children off to secular college to live in the dorm so they get the college experience. You're sending your kids off to the pit of hell if you do that. I lived in college dorms, trust me. I was one of the crowd. I take that with me everywhere I go. There's joy in knowing that I'm forgiven. There's joy in knowing that my past is in my past. There's joy in those things. But how much more joy is there in being the elder son? Let's look at him for a moment. I'm going to not try to keep you long tonight, but I want you to think with me. I wish I could preach this to every single teenager across the country. I wish every kid could hear this. Because, Michael, you've got an opportunity at your age to have joy that I'll never have. Jimmy, you've got an opportunity in your life, son, to have joy that I'll never have. Colton, Luke, Natalie, Liz, you guys have a chance to have a joy that I will never have. Some of you parents right now wish. You're going through some of the things in your head right now, too. I can see your wheels spinning. Do you know you can never go back to those days? Let me pop this bubble real quick before I get to the elder son. We got 10 minutes before 7 yet. Don't panic. You know, there's times in my life when the devil gets inside and he says to me, well, wouldn't it be great if you could do this again? He's the one that got me to do it in the first place. He's the one that put the regret there. You know, it's amazing to me how sometimes that pops up. Do you know you can never go back to the way it was? You can never fit back there. It will not be the same. It will not be the same. This joy I do have, the joy of knowing I've never gone back. The joy of knowing I've never gone back to that part of my life. It seems filthy to me now. It seems horrible to me now. I've got the joy of knowing I never went back. But can I show you a different joy? In verse 31, I want to show you this. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. I don't have the ability to tell you of the joy of knowing that I was always with my father. You know, as Christians, it's amazing to me how few children are getting saved today. It's almost to the point where it seems like it's unnecessary to get saved. You know, it used to be a big deal. Amen? Stay with me for just a moment, can you? Just a side note here. Do you know how important it is to tell people about Christ? Because I got to be honest with you, with the information age that we have today, nobody's concerned about Jesus anymore. Nobody's concerned about Jesus because they have things that fill that they think fill it. They've got things that they think can take the place of him. They've got things that they think. And by the way, it's amazing to me how this information highway has packed our lives so much with stupidity, has packed our lives so much with things of the trivial, has packed our lives so much with things that are not necessary, that has packed our lives so much. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how the devil has used all of these things to take up the room that we should reserve for Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me. I know this is not popular tonight. I want you to unplug a little while and get with my Father for some time. I want you to unplug for a little while and get with Jesus and start reading his Bible and start praying and start getting back to what it's like to be an elder son. I am ever with you. There's times, I promise you, that son got so mad at the riotous son. Dad's always pining away for the younger one that left. I would to God that we'd be the ones that stayed. We're Christian now. I don't have the joy in knowing I was always with my dad. But there are some that do. There are some that have never turned their back on God. There are some that have never gone the way of riotous living. There are some that have never known what it's like to have alcohol touch their lips. I'll not have that joy. I'll not have the joy where I didn't have the riotous living. But some of you have. I'm telling you, don't think that it's good going to that place. Don't get angry when one comes back and repents, although I'm glad, thank God, that some kids repent and decide to get right with God. But I've got to be honest with you. I'm glad for the repentance, but I'm much more glad to see the elder son come up here and say, I've always been with Dad. It's amazing to me how little churches want to talk about the kids that stay with Christ. It's amazing how they parade kids, and I've always said this, they parade kids that got lost in sin and now are found. Fantastic. I'm glad of that. Please don't misread me. I don't want to be up here for that. I don't want to be here. Jimmy, I don't have the ability to tell you, son, that I've got the joy of never leaving Christ. But you do. Natalie Rose, you do. Luke, to this point, you do. Never turned their back on Christ and gone down that road. Never turned their back on Christ, and maybe there's some in here that are older. You know, it's amazing how few anymore. Brother Tom Saylor used to always say, I don't smoke, don't chew, and don't run with those who do. You know, it's amazing how few adults feel that way. It's amazing to me how few people can claim the joy of the elder son. You know, peer pressure, that's what they always talked about when I was a kid. Peer pressure, peer pressure, peer pressure. Here it is. This is what peer pressure is. You hang around the right peers, it'll relieve the pressure. That's the bottom line. I mean, that's what it is. And let me help you out a little bit. It works for adults too. If you hang around people that don't believe the Bible's inspired, you're going to start to believe that the Bible's not inspired. What? What? Don't have friends that believe that. Don't have friends that want to tear your preacher up. Don't have friends that want to talk about the how bad the associate pastor is. There should be nobody that feels that way. I'm going to tell you, you got a great one. Yeah, you're thinking that right now, aren't you? I'm going to be talking about you bad here in about 5 minutes. What son do we want to be? As I looked at this and saw the elder son get mad, you know, he's got every right. He stayed with Christ. But here's the difference. When we're going down that road of things that we're looking for to do that would make us happy, when we're going down that road of trying to look for things that make our lives feel important, and that road happens to take us off of the narrow road that is following Christ, Can I submit something to you tonight? That the only road that's going to provide the fulfillment you're seeking is the narrow one that you just got off of. Adults as well. You can try to find your peace and solitude in your romance novels. Well, I can't believe I even said that. Somebody in here must be reading them. Jimmy. He knew I was coming to him, too. He's like, oh. It's amazing what I find in these kids' lockers, I'll tell you. He probably got it from his dad. I firmly believe I firmly believe that the reason that a person goes off these roads, goes off to the left and to the right, and the Lord warns us to not, they go off these ways seeking of something that makes them happy. Seeking something that fulfills them. But I'm going to submit to you again that the only one that fulfills that is Christ. That's the only one. See, I want to show you again, and I'm almost done here. And maybe I'm confusing you tonight, or maybe you don't like this type of thing, but I just would to God we'd want to get closer to the Father again. I really do. I would to God we'd want to be Christian again. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with thee. And I want you to see this. This statement should mean the world to you. and all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. Everything, Christian, that you need is found in Christ. You're not going to find it on Google. You're not going to find it on Bing. You're not going to find it on a computer. You're not going to find it in the bottle. You're not going to find it in drugs. You're not going to find it anywhere else but in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Why do families fall off to the wayside? Why do Christians not live up to their potential? Why? Because they're seeking something that is not going to provide the fulfillment that they're looking for. The fulfillment that you're looking for is found in Christ. You know what's amazing to me? Why don't you let yourself get close to Dad? Why don't you let it happen? Why? You know what you're supposed to do. You know that you're supposed to pray. You know you're supposed to read. You know you're supposed to do these things for Christ. Why don't you let yourself do it? I know in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, but your heart has this great desire to do it. I know it does. Mine did, but I still wouldn't let myself. It's like hugging your dad when you get older. Oh, Dad, come on. Come on. It's like being vulnerable in front of your dad. I don't know. I'm tough, man. Here I am. You know, I think Christ would rather have you come to him meek and lowly, contrite, and I know he would give you all that he has. As I look at the elder son here, sometimes I wonder if he's not mad that he didn't realize that he had everything. Do you realize, Christian, that you've got everything? Oh, God, I don't have a huge house. That's pathetic. Because there's one waiting for you. Oh, I don't have a great car. You're not going to need one in heaven. And I know this doesn't preach. Oh, preacher, it's easy for you to say that. All I want to see is some happy. What? What? All I want to see is some joy that comes from not leaving your dad. The joy that comes, listen, the younger son came back, and I don't know if he left his dad again. I don't know. The story is something told by Christ to get us to think. I know once I came back to my dad, I never left again. I do have that joy. But what greater joy would it have been, Colton, to know that I never left? You've got a great challenge in front of you, Christians. You really do. This great challenge is a simple fact that we ought to desire to be Christian. We ought to realize that the world does not have what you're looking for. This younger son went out thinking that the world had what he was looking for. The world never had it. His dad had it. It was great that he came back to his dad, but I got to be honest with you, I'm more impressed with the elder son never leaving. It was meat. In verse 32, and we're all done. It was meet that we should make merry. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. It's good, and we should have done this. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found, and we should be thankful and excited. As a Christian, we ought to be thankful and excited. But Christian, I would to God we'd never leave Dad in the first place. I would to God we'd never leave Dad once we come back. I would to God that we would stop staying in the world thinking that it's going to be all right. Why don't things happen for God anymore? Because they're not happening in you. Forget, you know, I get so sick and tired of hearing about the grand revivals. I really do. Whatever. Read the books. I'm thankful for the history of it. But you know what you had there? You had individual people. I don't care how many there were. Each one of them was individual. How can you expect to see great things from God when you walk around with Christian blinders? I know it was a good song, but I wasn't blessed. And this message so far has not been one of your better ones, mister. I came looking for a blessing. I'm not seeing it. Maybe. That's fine. But I've got to be honest with you. When in the world are you going to be happy with what God has done?
When are you going to be content yet hungry? When are you going to be excited to know that God is still doing things? Do you know when that is? Do you know when that is? When you get close to the Father. When you get close to the Father, things happen. When you get close to God, if things aren't happening in your life, ask where you're at in proximity to your Heavenly Father. You think God has a desire for nobody to have anything exciting happen in their life, Christian-wise? That's what God's here for, right? I'm going to make your lives dull today, spiritually speaking, very dull. I'm going to make your life horrible. You can't do any of those things anymore in the world that you think are fun. You can't do any of those. I got to be honest with you, I have more fun now as a Christian than I ever had in the world, ever. Yeah, it was great fun throwing up. It was great fun worrying about the law. It was great fun doing all the things that I don't know. That was great fun. I have more fun now. I have more joy now in being a Christian than I ever had in being in the world. I'm just glad once I came back, I never left. Here's the key. If you've never left, don't leave now. Get close to your Heavenly Father. That's where all the excitement is. Get close to Jesus. You want to see something happen heaven-wise? Then get close to Him. My prayers are never answered. You never offer any. Did I pick on somebody in this room just now? Hey, listen, I prayed once, buddy. If he didn't have the time to hear me, then fine. I would to God my kids felt that way. Huh? If my kids need something, do you think they stop at the first dad? Do you think my kids stop? But I say no. They don't even stop at no. No, and that's final. It's not final. It's not final. I could have a gavel in my room and drop that thing. Still wouldn't be final. Are you sure, Dad? Yeah, I'm not doing it. Okay, but will you? And every parent in here knows what I'm talking about. Why are we so different from Christ, with Christ? Wait a minute. Why are we so different with our Heavenly Father? God must not care, or He would have answered. Right? God, please do this for me. Lord, I want to do something for You. Oh, God, I want to do something special for You. I want my life for You to matter. That uttered once, I don't think is going to get it. And I don't think that you can fault God if you're not interested enough to pray more than once. Why don't we have a relationship with Him? Why don't you allow yourself to have a relationship with Him? Why don't you allow yourself? Because all you have to do is allow yourself. The relationship is there. When I came back to my earthly father, when I finally made amends with him, do you know that the relationship with my dad was always there? If I would go to get it, it would always be there. My dad didn't move homes. My dad didn't leave me and go to Texas. My dad was there at my house waiting for me. All I had to do was make it right. That's all. Just make it right. Just go to him and make it right. I'm telling you, Christian, if it's not right with God tonight, make it right. Make it right. He's there. He's never moved. Make it right. Because I'm going to tell you, He's waiting there with everything that He has. All of it. There's nothing missing. He's got it all and lots of it. And all we've got to do as Christians is go and get it. Have a relationship with Him. Allow it. Well, that's weird. That's weird. I'm not going to be able to hang around my buddies anymore if I go have this relationship with God. Believe me, God's better company. I'm going to tell you with all my heart, if you don't have a relationship with God, there's a reason that you don't have a relationship, and it ain't God. And I'll tell you this too. The relationship is always there to be had. Once you get that relationship and reestablish your relationship with Him. By the way, I'm not talking about salvation tonight. If you're saved, that relationship's always there. You're always going to be His child. Don't come to me and say, well, can I lose my salvation? No, believe me, you never did anything good enough to get it in the first place. But that relationship is there if you want it. Jimmy, it's not good enough to go through your life, son, not wanting a relationship with Christ. Not good enough. Luke, David, look at me, son. It's not good enough. You're saved. I baptized you in this baptismal, son. It's not good enough for you to go through this life and not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, I'm too little. You're not too little. You, son, could be one of those that says, I never left my dad. Are you just picking on your kid? I'm sorry, I want my kid to do right. I want you to do right. I want me to do right. If you want to have a relationship with him, it's there. It's there. Come home and get it. Come home and get it. And then once you get it, don't leave again. Let's be like the elder son. All that I have is thine. Look, I want you to read these with me, and I promise you I'll pray. Verse 31, I want you to see this one more time. And he said unto him, this is his dad talking to his son. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. The desire was the son's to be with the dad. I want you to notice. Thou art ever with me. Sure, the dad's always there, but the son had a desire to be with his dad. And all that I have is thine. Christ calls out to you tonight, you personally, thou art ever with me. Would you want to be with me? Would you have a desire to be with me? Because all that I have is thine. Christian, it's all there. All we have to do is come and get it. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this evening, Lord, please. It's my life, Lord. It's my life that I'm talking about tonight. It really is. Lord, I need to have the relationship with you. I'm the one. I've got to come and have that relationship with you that's better. You've never left, Lord. You've always been there through the highs and through the lows. You've always been there. Lord, you've always waited on me to come back to you, and you've always been here, never changing address. And God, I'm so thankful for that. Lord, please help me. Help me to seek you out to have a better relationship with you, a more personal relationship, a more vibrant relationship. Use me more than you've ever used me before. And Lord God, I hope and pray that the folks under the sound of my voice want to do the same thing. They want to get a relationship with you and not leave it anymore. They want to have that thou art ever with me thought in their head. They want to have that thought that they never left dad's side. Lord, please help us to desire that personal relationship, that personal attitude. I can't have that relation for them. They can't have that relation for me. Lord, that's got to be personal. That dealings with you, that bond with you has got to be personal. Lord, help them to get it. Help them to desire more than just salvation. Help them desire a walk. Lord, please be with us tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say that they know, without a shadow of a doubt that they're going to heaven when they die, they're saved and they know it 100%. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? You may put them down. How many say, you know what, this is a Sunday night crowd, bad weather, all those things, I understand that, but there could be one. Would there be one that would be willing to say, you know what, I don't know, but I sure would like to know. I'd like to start that relationship now. How many could say that they don't know that they're saved, but they would like to know? Could you put your hand up? Then that means I'm talking to a bunch of children of God. A bunch of children of a dad. And that dad can be that close to you. You can have that relationship with him. You've just got to desire to have it. You've got to allow yourself to have it. And once you get it, don't ever leave. Have that desire to be ever with him. That's the key. To be ever with him. Dear Lord, please be with this invitation tonight. Lord, we need you. Oh, Lord, have your will and way. Lord, we need something more from you as individuals. We've got to have it. In this day and age, in such a time as this, God, we need you. Lord, please help us. Thank you for being patient with us and merciful. But Lord God, help us to establish that closer walk with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother John, what are we singing? 137, let's